Well, boy, that was so powerful. Amen. I think as they acted that out, portrayed that drama, so you and I know that was not some fictitious truth, but we know it's reality. And not only is it reality, but I believe, and this is where I was touched the most, I believe that it is reality for somebody that's here today. That they did not have to call your name out as they did this, for they don't know your name, but that the Lord Himself, He wrote your name on that drama. Luke chapter 15 is the most powerful, powerful chapter in God's Word. Luke chapter 15 begins and it tells us that Jesus, that He began eating with sinners as He had always done. That the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious crowd, they come to Him and here's what they accused Him of. They said, "This man eats with sinners. He fellowships with sinners. He dines with sinners." I'm glad I serve a Savior who's been charged with that crime. And the Lord says this. He says, "What one of you would have 100 sheep and one of them leaves the fold and goes off and wanders?" And then Jesus said this in the parable. He said, "The shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes searching for the one." And here's an interesting word in that verse. He says he searches for the one and tries to find it. No, he searches for the one and hopes that he finds it. No, he searches for the one and desires to find it. No, he searches for the one until he finds it. That's good. That's good. And then the Bible says he puts that sheep on his shoulders and brings it home. This walk that you make to come home, this walk down these aisles to this altar, it's never a walk that you have to do alone. Never. See, I believe in your pew when you make a decision, that's what I'm going to do, this is where I'm going. I believe when you take that first step, I believe that's where He puts you on His shoulders and He carries you the rest of the way down here. There's a parable then right after that Jesus gives, just talking about lost things being found. About the lost coin, a lady loses a coin in her house, she sweeps the house, turns everything upside down, looking for it, finds it, and then rejoices and calls her friends to rejoice with her. And then right after that, he talks about the parable of the lost son. And unfortunately, that's what our Bibles say, is the parable of the lost son, if you look at the heading under that passage. When in reality, it's not the parable of a lost son. In that passage, there is a son who was careless, a son who was reckless, and let's just be quite frank, a son who was stupid. He'd done some stupid, reckless things with the graces that his father gave him. He sat at the table of a rich man. He had everything provided for him in every way. Food, nourishment, safety, protection, a future, all of these things. And he decided that the best way was his way instead of the Father's way. So he started out on his own and went his way. You know this story. His way led him to a place of famine, a place of want, where he wasted all of his father's graces. He wasted it away. Found himself really just in the pig pens of the world, if you will, literally. And so this reckless son, this careless son, this this stupid son, if you will, he come to himself and he says, I'm going to go to my father's house. But here's what I'm going to do. And he rehearsed his plan. Well, what he didn't realize is that before he ever turned his head toward home, there was already a father who had his head turned toward him. Before he even started thinking about home, before he even began to be repentant, while he was still wasting away the Father's graces, living life on his own, while he was in the middle of all of that, there was a father who still had his head, his eyes, and his ears turned toward that son. See, that parable, I believe, best portrays a merciful, loving, caring Heavenly Father above. Yes, there's a son in that parable who was so reckless, so careless, didn't tend or care to the things of the Father. But the Father never gave up on him. The Father never lost hope in him. The Father always had a plan for him. Even while that son was wasting away his life with the things offered by the world. And so the Bible says that son started home. The Bible tells us that that father, while that son was yet a long way off, and literally the wording there in the original text suggests that every single day, while that son was wasting away the grace of the father, of his father, that every single day what that dad did was is he went out to the field and he started looking. And he was watching, hoping that son would come home, praying that son would come home, waiting, watching, expectantly. There's one step further to that, and I realize I've preached on this text before, but there's one step further than that, to that text. He sees that son coming while he's a long way off. He runs and he meets that son. My attitude would have been, had that son treated me like that son treated him, I would have stood at the door and I would have made that son come all the way to the house, fall on his knees, beg forgiveness of all that he had done, and then I would have forgiven him. That father, so loving and merciful, though, he didn't even wait for that son to get to him. In fact, that son had rehearsed in his heart, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go. I'm going to beg my father to forgive me. I'm going to ask him, if you'll just let me be a servant in your house, I'll be satisfied with that. I'm not even asking for sonship anymore. I just want to be a servant. He had it all rehearsed out, and the father wouldn't even let him get it all out. The father ran to him and met him and threw his arms around him. Before that son made it all the way to the altar of home, the father had met him where he was at to extend mercy, forgiveness, and restoration, and all of the graces that come with a father above. And the Bible says that father says this. He tells his servants, my son's come home. We're about to rejoice. Go get the fatted calf. Bring it, let's fix it. We're going to have a feast. Now listen just a minute on this. He didn't just say go get a calf. Go get an unprepared calf. Go get one out in the field that was born a couple months back. I want you to go get a calf that's already fatted. You don't fatten a calf overnight. I want you to go get one that I've been preparing. I want you to go get one that every day I went to that barn stall, I fed that calf. When there was no son here, when my son was still in a foreign land, when my son was still wasting it away, while my son was still living it up, while my son was still doing his own thing, while my son had disrespected me, my name, the things I believe in and stand for, while my son was doing all of that, every day I was fattening that calf because I knew he had come home. I think the Lord has ordained this service in every way today. In every way today. To speak to your heart. Greater than any sermon I could ever deliver. It's been portrayed in a drama. Be honest with you, I was strung out between two ways today. I really didn't know which way to go. Told Josh that back there a while ago. I got a message on my mind, and then I got this one on my heart. I'd be a fool to let the teenager stand here and act out a sermon for you and for me not to just follow the Lord on his lead with this. So he had you on his mind. Not the religious crowd, according to Luke 15. Not that crowd who has no sin, or who at least thinks they have no sin. But his mind is on the ones who are sinners. Amen. And his mind was on you. And his invitation to you is this. His invitation to you is this. Come. Come. And really, for those of you who God's spoken to, it's a come home. Maybe Liberty Baptist is not even your home church, but the altar of God is home to any child of God. And so today, you know the need to come home. The Lord's broke you, opened your heart up, prepared it for what you've seen and what you've heard today. I'm going to ask you to stand very quietly and reverently. Stand if you will. The girls are about to sing a hymn of invitation, and I'm through. But as they begin to play, and as those first words of that invitation song come out of their mouth, I want you to be ready to move. I want you to move and step out. That first step is your act of faith. Unto God, I stand upon the word that the rest of the way, he'll put you on his shoulders. He'll carry you home. Young, old, middle-aged, teenagers, grandpa, grandma, mom, or dad, this Sunday, in February of 2019, it's time to come home. Somebody will pray with you and meet you here. Girls, sing.